The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone, and grateful to the choir for reminding us why we're gathered here on this Lord's Day to praise the Lord. I was thinking earlier on of a great hymn that Charles Wesley wrote where he says, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." I would love to be able to sing my Redeemer's praise in a thousand different languages, and it's our prayer this morning that that aspiration would be in our hearts, that we are only fully ourselves when we praise our Lord. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we bid you a warm welcome. If you have time, tea and coffee is served in the large hall afterwards. But let's us worship God now as we sing praise. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart." Friends, these are the words of the psalmist, which will lead us into prayer. He says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe before Your being. You are the one who called the universe into existence from nothing. You are the one whose mighty power holds the universe together day by day. You are the one who has established a people upon this earth to be witnesses to Your love, Your justice, and Your power. And yet You are the Lord who is very close to all those who look to You. You know each of Your people by name. You understand those challenges that face them day by day. You are the one who's able to touch those areas of need in their lives. You are the God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And so it is that we gather here today as a people who have so much to celebrate in life. And yet a people who may be carrying burdens of anxiety, disappointment, fear. And so we ask, O Lord, that as we enjoy the fellowship one with another on this Lord's Day, and as we sing Your praises, as we open our hearts to Your presence, and as we hear Your word, that You would enable us to know something of that power that only You can give, that strength which can only be imparted from the depths of Your being, so that we might go forward in our journey of faith as a strong and expectant and a fulfilled people. We ask all this in the name of Jesus our Lord, and ask that You would hear us now as we say His prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Now, I wonder if you can tell me this. Is there a place in the whole wide world that you would like to visit, but you haven't been there yet? Yes. Where? Hawaii. Oh, yes. Well, let's just start with the exotic places. And yes, France. Okay. Yes, Sam?
L.A.
Oh, well, what do you expect from Sam? You know, L.A.'s fine. The sun shines most of the time. And the feeling is laid back. You know who said that? Neil Diamond. If you're over 35, you'll know who Neil Diamond is. So, yes, L.A. Right, okay, so we've got Hawaii, we've got France, we've got L.A. Now, is there a... Yes, one more. Where? Antarctic. You like solitude, do you? Being on your own. Right, here's another question. Is there a person in all the people that exist in the whole wide world, is there a person that you would like to meet, but you haven't met him or her yet? We'll give somebody else a chance. A person. Yes. God. Yep. Well, I think you probably share that with a lot of people. But I'm thinking about, you know, maybe there's somebody you like in the movies, or somebody that, you know, is a great sports person. Oh, jinx. Here we go. Yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep. I would like to meet him too, but I've got arthritis in my right hand, and I'm shaking hands with him I'd love to meet Sylvester Stallone, you know. I remember the Youth Fellowship a long time ago asked who I would like to have playing me in a film. And I said, Sly, you know. Still, never mind. We won't go into that. Right, here's another question. Is there an animal or a bird that you have never seen in the whole wide world, but you would like to see this animal or this bird? Yes. A penguin! That's why you want to go to the Antarctic. Where's it going? Is he impersonating a penguin? Yeah, it's all right. Yes? Pardon? A tree kangaroo. Right? Oh, yes, that's quite a rare one. Yep, anything. A bird or an animal that you would love. Right, okay, hands. Yes, one more. A red squirrel. Yes, well, you know, it was only a few years ago I saw my first red squirrel in Scotland. You know, and it wasn't too far away up the road in the Trossachs. So there we are. You know, there's things, there's places, there's people and animals and birds that we would all love to see. Now I'm going to tell you something. I always wanted to see a kingfisher. Do you know the bird? The kingfisher. And just about 3 weeks ago, I saw a kingfisher, and he was just down about three miles from here at the Forth and Clyde Canal, and Mrs. Buchanan and I were sitting on a bench, and we were looking out over the canal, and suddenly, there was a blue flash in front of us, and I wondered what it was at first, and then it suddenly dawned on me, it was a kingfisher. And then we were sitting there a wee bit longer. And then it came back again. And this time it had something in its mouth. There was a blue flash, but it had something in its mouth. What do you think the something in its mouth was? Yes. A fish. That's why it's called a kingfisher. So, there we are. Now, what I feel about that, it was so... I mean, the blue colour was just out of this world. It was like something I'd never seen before in nature. It was wonderful. And you see that and you think to yourself, well, I can tick this off the list of things that I've always wanted to see. But there was also something else in me that said, I would love to see that again. And again. And maybe every day to see a kingfisher would be just wonderful. And it made me think, as this is the way my thoughts sometimes run. It made me think about the Apostle Paul. Great man. And he was one of those people who had actually met Jesus. Not Jesus as he was to his disciples before he died, but Jesus when he rose from the dead. Paul actually met with Jesus, maybe more than once. And yet, years and years later, he wasn't happy just to sort of tick that off as being one of life's wonderful experiences. When he was writing to followers of Jesus years and years later, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know. And you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, Paul, you've met him. You've met the risen Lord. You've heard his words. You've spoken to him. What on earth do you mean? Well, it was just that it was such a wonderful experience that he wanted to know more and more about Jesus and experience more and more about Jesus in his life. And you see, that's why we come together as God's people on a Sunday. That's why you're in Sunday Club, so that you can learn more about Jesus and experience more of his Spirit in your lives, so that you can be better followers of Jesus and be his friends in the world. So, one-off experiences are wonderful, but when we can have an appetite for more and more, that's even better. So let's sing your hymn together now. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. Let's sing this now. Friends, before we read God's word together, we'll sing our prayer for understanding. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Let's read together now in God's word, friends, Psalm 139 in the scriptures of the Old Testament, reading from page 628 in the Pew Bible, page 628, Psalm 139. The words of David, who says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. We sing together now, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure."
I have an infant memory of being in the cooperative store in Alexander Street in Clybank. And I was with my mummy. And then all of a sudden I turned round and my mummy wasn't there. And I was filled with panic, overcome with confusion. My mother, who was supposed to be there, wasn't there. The story told later to me was that I had been distracted by the toys and had drifted away. But my memory is of turning round and my mummy wasn't there. And it was terrifying. Psalm 139 has as its central theme the God who is always there. And for the believer, there is nothing like the security and joy that flows from knowing that their God is always there. In verse 1 through to 6, the God who is there is the God who knows you. Notice how close he is to you and how every detail of your life is known to him. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. He is the Lord who searches you and understands you. He knows when you sit and when you rise up, and he sees all your thoughts. He discerns your going out and you're lying down. The Hebrew word that's translated as discerns means to winnow or to sift out, to get down to the very finest detail, the very finest detail of all that you are and all that you do. And then you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. I wonder if that sounds restrictive. Does it make us feel just a little threatened? You hem me in behind and before me, you lay your hand on me. But you see, it's like the mother who in the busy street gathers her little ones beneath her shawl, or the father who holds his child's hand as he walks along the road. You hem me in and you lay your hand on me to prevent and to protect. The God who is there is the God who knows you and the God who keeps you. And notice in verse 6 the psalmist's response. His response in worship and in adoration. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. The psalmist wants you to feel worship, to be filled with a response of adoration. He wants you to know how wonderful it is and to be able to say, this is too wonderful for me. I cannot understand the height and the depth and the breadth of your knowledge of me. I can only adore a God who cares for me so deeply. Have you ever been overcome by that thought? That in the midst of your life, with all its cares and troubles, your anxieties and your fears, that your God is with you. And He is the God who knows you. And He sees you in all of your troubles. And He holds fast to your hand as a loving father. He shelters you under His shawl like a gentle mother. Does that not move you to praise and to worship that you have such a God who cares so deeply for you, that the smallest cares of your life become His immediate concern? The God who made the heavens and the earth, who steers the course of history, the God who holds all things in His hands, looks down upon you and His immediate concern is for you in all of your cares and troubles. If you really begin to see that as David saw it, you will be moved to worship that the God of heaven and earth should have such an interest in something as insignificant as I am. And doesn't that make you feel wonderful? Because you are full of wonder to Him. The God who is there and who is always there is the God who knows you. And He is also the God who surrounds you. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? And then on through verses 19 to 24. He knows, David knows, and so should we, that if we flee to the heights of the sky or the depths of the earth, or the farthest east where the dawn rises, or the farthest west where the sea begins, he cannot escape from God's presence. For God is already there and will be there when we arrive. He is the God who is there and the God who knows you. And He is the God who surrounds you wherever you might go. And if we say, verse 11, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night all around me, then the darkness will be as light to you. The word that the psalmist uses that we translate as darkness is Sheol. Sheol. The darkness of the grave. The absolute darkness. Sometimes God's people go through times of great darkness. The darkness of despair. The darkness of deep disappointment. The darkness of depression. The darkness of bereavement. And if you know any of that this morning, this is not a strange thing. These are our days of darkness that all of God's people must go through, and sometimes it is like the darkness of the grave. And we feel it crushing us. But then the psalmist cries, though it is darkness to me, it is not darkness to you. Though I cannot see him, he still sees me. And no darkness can hide me from him, for darkness is as light to him. Notice the psalmist is not saying that you will be necessarily perfectly calm in these experiences of darkness. But he is saying, you will not be alone. And you may not see him. But he will see you. And if you are going through a time of darkness, that is at least something to hold on to and to keep you going. That even in the darkness, he sees me and he is with me. And then the psalmist moves on to verses 13 and 18. The God who is with there, the God who is there, and the God who knows you, and the God who surrounds you, is the God who made you. It begins in verse 13. And verse 13 begins with the word for. And whenever you read the word for in the Bible, you should ask yourself, what is the word there for? And it's there to give you a reason. And the reason I have assurance that you are the God who knows me, and you are the God who surrounds me with your inescapable presence, is because, verse 13, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That's a wonderful verse. In the very moment of your conception, God was working within you. In the very moment before your conception, God was preparing for you. Now remember, David is not a fool. And he is no cloistered saint who has no idea what can happen in the real world. And David knows that children are not always conceived in a loving embrace. But he also knows that his God is a God who brought creation out of darkness, and the God who brings goodness out of evil. And so he can say to every one of us that he is our maker. You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And he is saying that of every unborn child, no matter what the circumstances of its conception might have been. And he says that to every one of us here this morning. He is the God who knitted us together in our mother's womb. He is the God who is there and who knows you and surrounds you, because he is the one who made you. And you can say with the psalmist through verse 15 to 18, "You, the God who made me, and my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." He brought your fetus into being and touched your life with his presence before you were even aware of it. And the words that are used are so meaningful. That word, knit. The Hebrews didn't knit as we knit. For them, the word meant interweaving. It's the picture of making a tapestry, which is an intricate affair, requiring great concentration and great perseverance and great vision. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And in verse 15, "I am woven together, carefully arranged." It means the blending of multicolored stuff woven together. And you can say with the psalmist, "Even in the secret place of the womb, my frame was not hidden from you. Your eyes saw my unformed body." If ever there was a time when you were concealed in darkness, alone and unknown even to the mother who gave you birth, it was then. But even then, you were the recipient of God's intimate care and attention, being woven together, being intricately fashioned. All the multicolored threads of your body, your mind, your personality, and everything else that makes you who you are, completely unique and precious. Then you really were in darkness. And there will be no darkness which is ever like that. But even in that darkness, he was knitting you together like a glorious tapestry, weaving you with multicolored threads and making you his perfect joy. And if he did it then, in whatever darkness envelops you now, he will continue to do it. Now, I know there are people of very small minds who would say that who and what you are has nothing to do with God. It's simply down to the laws of genetics, which of course the psalmist had no knowledge of. Well, if you could explain the laws of genetics to the psalmist, I think he would simply reply, "Aren't these laws of genetics a beautiful description of the way God does his work? A beautiful description of how he knitted you together in your mother's womb and wove you with with multicolored threads that make you who you are. I like listening to the music of Bach. I very much enjoy listening to Ella Fitzgerald. I love listening to all sorts of music. And the music of Bach is beautiful because he knows the rules of harmony and of form, and he knows how to lift the soul. And Ella's singing is beautiful because she knows the rules of rhythm and emotion. But it's Bach, the man, who moves us through the rules of music. And it's Ella the singer who moves me through the structures of rhythm. There are rules of genetics, but it's God who moves in them. They are his ways of working. And his ways of working are beautiful. And if he was with you then, he is the God who is with you today and the God who will be with you in all your tomorrows. For he created you not just for this life, but for our life, for your life. Right on through all the days ordained for you. Verse 16, you saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What's the conclusion the psalmist wants you to draw from this? If indeed the believer can say, God has had his hand on me from my conception, intricately weaving me together in the womb. If such intricate care is also extended in forming all the days of my life, then he is not going to abandon me to any of the trials that life might face. If God has invested so much of himself and his creativity in bringing you into being, he is going to keep you, and he is going to treasure you. I want that not to awaken our praise. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. When I count them, they outnumber the grains of sand. And when I am awake, I am still with you. How precious are the thoughts that you think about me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Your God thinks a lot about you. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't it wonderful to be able to say, in each new day, when I awake, I am still with you. We have a God who is always there to watch over us. Always there to keep us. Always there to be with us in the darkness. Always there to bring us to that great new day when we will awaken, not just in tomorrow's morning, But in the morning of eternity, and when I awaken, what will be my joy? To look upon the throne of God and upon my Saviour and say, when I awake, I am still with you. And he will be with us forever. May God bless his word to us. And we sing again in hymn 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. My apologies, I have had an extremely difficult week with an emergency appointment at the doctor, and you will hear perhaps some of that in my voice, so my apologies, and thanks to Fergus for so graciously correcting me. It's in 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be, Consecrated, Glad and Free.
Let us pray. God our Father, today we celebrate your presence with us, your knowledge of us, and your good purpose for our lives. We thank you for all the goodness that we have experienced in our lives from our earliest days. We thank you also for the challenges that have come our way, and with your strength we have been able to press on in faith. And we ask that as we stand before the unknown future, not knowing what days will be those of celebration, what days will be those of challenge, as we look forward to each one, we pray, Father, that we would be assured of your presence with us, of your care towards us, and of your good purpose being worked out in every circumstance. And we pray, Lord, that as we make our offering today, and as we think of our present service, that you would enable us to continue walking in your ways, being conscious of the needs of others, and to realize our great potential to be the light of the world as Jesus desires for his people. And we pray, Father, that these would be the aspirations of your people throughout our land today. In so many ways, a challenging time for the church to bear her witness in spirit and in truth. But we are glad to know that so many will be gathered like us today in so many different circumstances, in country parishes, in urban situations, in places where there is great need, in places where there is considerable privilege. And we pray, Lord, that the one Lord in all these places will be worshipped, and that his word would be faithfully proclaimed, so that a people will be built up that will bear witness, no matter what the conditions or the challenges. And we look out on our wider world at this time, Father, and so often there is little to encourage us to lift our spirits when we see people forced to leave their own lands, to seek a place where there is freedom and comfort. When we see people devastated by what seems to be the savage forces of nature. When we see people who are called to make the best of towns laid low in rubble and in devastation. Lord, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, the strength would be given to work through all these circumstances, to show the love of Christ for all those affected, and for signs of the kingdom to break through. Bless our own nation at this time, Father. Remembering those who are in authority over us, bless our Queen, giving thanks for the witness of faith she so often brings to the nation, and praying that more and more people who occupy the offices that can change things for the better, that they would be open to receive your wisdom and to work in your strength. We pray especially today for those who care for the sick, who minister to the needs of the elderly, who have a particular calling to work with children and young people. We pray, O Lord, that they would be given all the resources that are needed to continue their work effectively. And as we've been reminded this morning, Father, of your closeness to us and of your knowledge of us, we would hold before you today our friends, members of our families perhaps, who are finding life hard, who are going through their worst of times. We pray that you would enable those who have received surgery to recover soon, that those who are receiving treatment would be given the strength that they need, that those who are anxious and disturbed in their emotions would be given peace, and that those who are bereaved would know the touch of the Master's hand, enabling them to know that there is hope, not only for this life, but also for the next. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord, and for his sake, and for his glory. Amen. Friends, I have to remind elders that communion cards and duties are available for uplift at the back of the church. But we sing now. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for all throughout the earth. Now may you go in peace to tell the story of Jesus and to share his love and the blessing of God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.